and a lot of latency with that. Supposedly that was fixed. I mean, I don't know. You would know better than I. Which one do you have at present?
I have the 5000. What is it? 5000A. I have the 5000 standalone with my own computer running it. They have a 5000C with the computer in it. But I said, you know what? Why would I bound myself, you know, with a computer inside the radio? Because the way the computers were jumping around and they were always, it was like, it seemed every month I was getting something new, and then Windows Vista came, and then Windows, 7 and 8. And I just said, why would I lock myself into it? So I made myself a machine with XP on it and dedicated it right to the 5000. That's what I have.
Okay. So you got the 5000. Why would you even be thinking of upgrading? The 5000 doesn't do everything that you want it to do, or I don't even understand why you would upgrade.
I always like new toys. Don't ask me why I have it in my head. But, I don't know. I have the 5000 is fine. It works great. I can see, with the second receiver, I can see two bands. And on the VFO2, I could go to a third band if I wanted to. Well, actually, I have four VFOs. So, simplistically enough, the RX2 gives me opportunity to check if I wanted. I could go 10 and let's just say 12. And on the other, the VFO, on the first receiver, if I go VFO A and VFO B, I can listen to 20 and 40 if I wanted to. And then on the second receiver, I could do the same. VFO A, I could listen to 80, and VFO B, I could listen to 160 if, I wanted to do that. So I guess so much like the 6500. The only thing is that the difference that I saw was it's all doing the processing. You see what's happening? Sometimes the 5000, I'm not sure how good the audio is, because I haven't had a station close enough to me really to sit down there and tell me, wow, you sound really good. I've listened to my audio, which I'm happy with the way it is, but I want to, I don't know. The audio on these new ones are supposedly way more faster in the processing to get into the audio chain. And then the receive chain to come back to you, it's faster. For some reason, what they do to it, they make it better than a what was it called? A heterodyne? I forget what it's exactly called. Man, I took a pain pill, so my mind is not right here yet. So super heterodyne, was that what the receivers were called? But I don't know how. What they're doing is they're actually taking all these processes and bringing them in, and they're being digitalized at the computer faster than what the FireWire is doing now for the 5000. So the whole technology's changed. What they've done now is they've made it so that the processing can be like a split second, and there's no lag and no delay, if you will, what they do. Sometimes these things have delays on them. It depends on your
repeater. Repeater, timeout, clear.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, Joe, I'm glad it was you and not me. Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I can see it. I know that's the issue that they were having, at least CW-wise, and I'm sure they were also having it with latency on the receive and the transmit side, too, phone wise, but I know the big bug was the CW full break, and everybody was up in arms at that. So yeah, I can see why you would do it, but I don't know. I shouldn't say anything because I'm a junkie on new technology too. So, but every 5,000 I've heard always has great audio. I mean, I think they have some super audio.
Yeah, I hear myself in the headphones. I didn't mean to time that out. I'm really sorry. That's the first time I've ever timed the repeater out. But I'm confused on what that new technology seems to bring to the table here. It does something. There's something there with this new client software that just seems to do everything. And by the way, they fixed all that break-in and stuff. They fixed all of that with Power SDR now. So it's not a problem. They gave you a new FireWire for the 5000, and the FireWire for the 3000 is also changed, which is faster, and they gave the USB for the 1500, which is even faster. So that's what they've done. NY2EE.
Yeah, K2MIJ. I had heard that they had taken care of the problems. So I know that wasn't really an issue anymore with the Power SDR, but I don't know. I've heard every Flex I've ever heard. I like the audio. It seems to be very rich and very true to life. At least I like the audio. So I'm sure you sound good. I don't know how close we are. One of these days, maybe we'll find a band where I could actually hear you and maybe make a recording or something like that. But every Plex I've heard has fairly decent audio. I just don't know if I like this, that you got to pay this $199 deal that you got to pay for upgrades. That kind of throws me.
Yeah, that kind of bothers me too. But let's just put it this way. If you get the software for the first year, you've seen that Power SDR has only been upgraded since I had the radio. I think I got the radio in 2009. And Power SDR has gone from 1.8 from when I got it to 2.6, which is quite a lot of upgrades. And the upgrades have not necessarily come from Flex themselves, but from other people that have written the code. So it's open source, and you can always expect somebody to... If they stopped giving me Power SDR upgrades right now, I'd be still happy with this radio. There's no question about it. So I'm thinking the same thing for the first year. You would probably take everything from them. Hold on, I don't want to time it out. NY2E. You would take up all their, you know, whatever their upgrades are for the first year, and, you know, you would have that choice if you wanted to purchase another year and maybe get some more quality upgrades. But like they introduced this radio to me, they said you could have a new radio every so often, and it was true. We were getting a new radio about every 3 months. Something new was coming in. Right now, the software has a glitch in it, and I can't get the mic boost to work, and nobody can. It's just not working. It's not in the audio chain. So what I do is, right now I have the, right now I have the inline microphone, and I'm using the 781, Heil 781, and she's not always giving me upwards modulation, because I'm an old stickler. Like, when it comes to those old Collinses, I like to hear when the radio keys down, I want to hear that clunk, and you know that I'm there and I'm talking to you, and you can get that loud audio. That's what I want. Without that boost now, I'm not getting that clunk, and you know that I'm talking. You've heard me, you know, what a Collins does. And before that, I was getting that. It was like, clunk, you knew NY2EE was on the air when that happened. You knew that was him, and there was nobody else around him. So that's what I'm looking for, and I'm kind of disappointed that they did away with that boost, but they said the next upgrade is supposed to have that fixed.
Okay. The only thing is the new software also open source? This new non-flex software. That would be the only thing that I would be concerned with. As long as the other stuff, if the new stuff is open source, then I guess even if you didn't pay for upgrades, I'm sure you could probably use some of the open source fixes. I guess you can. I don't know how I don't know how it works. I've never had a software defined radio like that. At least the transmitter. So I don't know. I don't know if you can install updates if they weren't authorized. I don't know how it works.
Flex has said that with their client software that they have people that are in there already. It's not open source. It's going to be other people writing, and you know it's going to have to go through Flex. And it's not necessarily going to have to be paid for when the other people write it. It's going to be up to the other people that are writing it. If someone wants to put 14 hours into writing something and give it away, you know, give their 14 hours away and make the radio better, Flex said that that's going to be cool with them. But, yeah, no, it's not going to be open source. No. But, you know, anything, once they get the upgrade, it's going to be out there for anybody. See, the whole thing is, let me hold. New client software is, it's not going to be on our radio. We have to go into the internet and lock on to the client software before we get to see what's happening on the radio. So that's what I'm worried about. It's not actually going to be downloaded on my computer. It's going to be where I come into their system. Makes a little sense, and it seems like they are going to want to make that money. But once I pay for it, whatever it is, I'll be able to continually lock on, even if I don't upgrade past the 1 year.
Okay, I get what you're saying. although I don't like the way it sounds. I don't like anything that I don't have physical control over. I mean, but I guess that's the way it is with the new radios. But I don't know. I kind of like when I buy something, I kind of like knowing it's in my possession. And I don't know about just connecting through a server, because what if the server goes down and then my $5,000 piece of equipment is basically useless because nobody's at the switch.
Well, this is what I've asked them, and they're telling me, you know, I'm so confused about it. They're telling me I won't have to worry about that because I'll have on the hard drive an imprint of everything that's supposed to be there. So even if their server goes down, I'll still be able to use the radio, but I won't be in the server. I'll be on my server or my hard drive. It will have everything that I need to use the radio. So, but I'm still asking them questions. I call them about every other day. And I'm still learning about it. And, you know, I don't know if I want to get in on it. I don't know. I'm really confused. If I get it and it's good, and, you know, I got to tell you, there's nothing like this Flex 5000. There's no way that any other radio out there, I don't care what they say, the receiver on this radio is like, you wouldn't believe it. I have to get you in here to really understand how this receiver is.
Oh yeah, I can believe it. I can. I mean, you know, anything that's being software controlled. I mean, all your filtering, everything, all the roofing filter, everything is right. It's in software. So, I mean, you gotta. I know it's gotta perform fantastic. I have one of the first SDR receivers that ever came out. It's the ICOM. What is it, PCR 1000, that's like ancient SDR technology. I've had that thing for years, and I really I don't think I've turned it on more than 10 times. Wow, I dropped it. But that's about the closest I've come to SDR radios, and I got to tell you, that thing is amazing in itself, and I can control that with HRD, so that's kind of neat. But yeah, I would love to see one of the Flexes in person.
Let me just give you, for instance, what had happened to me. I was working a guy on 14190, right? So there was another guy that happened to come up, you know, they're supposed to space themselves. So he came up on 14192, and he was bleeding over into the 190 station. So what I could do is, from to get him out of the way, I had to drop my receive filter down to like 2.1 kilohertz, right, just to get him out. So I could wipe him out of the picture altogether. I didn't hear him, and I could just hear the station. As he went on, he got a little bit louder, and he started spreading his audio, and he got bigger. His signal came in, and what I had done was the 2.1K wasn't enough. So I had to drop down to 1.0K, and that wiped him out again, but I could still hear the station that I wanted to hear. You understand how that works? It's just, you're able to get, you can wipe the guy off the face of the earth like he's not even there anymore, and just listen to the station that you want. Narrow, naturally, but you can still hear him, and the other guy's not going to bleed onto you.
Yeah, I know. I know the notching is fantastic. The only thing is, when you drop down that low, the station you want to hear, do you start getting digital artifacts on his signal?
No, absolutely not. You're not hearing his full signal, though. You know, you cut him down, and he's not really. He sounds different. Does it? You know, he'll sound a little compressed to you, but when you have somebody that you can't stop from bleeding into you, it's better than when he sounds a little compressed than the other guy bleeding all over him and then not able to hear him at all. So the other guy can be jumping up and down 5,000 watts, and I can wipe him right off the face of the earth and just listen to the guy. NY2EE.
Yeah, K2MIJ. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's the, you know, and I could deal with that, because if you're looking for a DX station, I mean, who cares if you're not looking for a rag chew. So as long as you're getting the information out, even if he is compressed, it's better than losing the contact. Yeah, one of these days, I'd like to see that thing in operation. I would like to check one of those out. I don't know if I'd ever go that route. I kind of like the portability of a radio, but who knows? One of these days, I may do it. I mean, as far as DXing go, I think that's the way to go, because of the filtering and there's just so much you can do. The pan adapter, everything's there for you. You know, that I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I don't know how you are about AM transmissions, but we have two AMs, and we have double sideband that acts like AM. And I can open up my transmit wide enough, like, I forget if it's 5.0 kilohertz, I can go, I may be able to go more than that on the transmit. But you know that's not, you really shouldn't transmit more than what it says, you know, what the low end is 150 and the high is 2850 or something like that. I don't remember the exact numbers, so just, you know, bear with me on that. But you can widen your signal out, and you could be, you know, you could take up a lot of space, and that's what a lot of these guys do, and that makes them sound better. And the only other problem with that is that they wipe everybody else out that's really close to them, and that's when this notching filter becomes so critical, is when they open themselves up so wide that you can't, you know, you're starting to get interference, so you can wipe them right out, you know, and then you can't hear them, you only hear the station you're looking for, and that rare station doesn't get lost in the mess, and you can actually hear him.
Yeah, I tell you what, I've heard some of the Flexes on AM, I'm amazed at the the AM quality. yeah, I've heard a few guys running the Flex on AM, and I was very surprised. The fidelity is fantastic. You know, they got AM in a lot of the in a lot of the rice boxes, but they don't sound anything like what the Flex sounds like AM wise. I think many of the AM guys even approve of the signal from the Flex. I've heard it a number of times. I've heard a number of stations running a Flex. So anyway, you'll have to keep me informed on what your decision is. I'd like to know which way you go.
Well, you know what? I saved about half of what the 6500 costs, and probably have half of that in this radio. You know, my 5000 would probably score me about, I'm just going to say 28, maybe 29. So I'm in the ballpark, but I'm not convinced that. See, a lot of this stuff that they do, too, you know what? When you transmit, it does all this filtering for you so you don't sound distorted and all this other stuff. You can't make the radio get distorted no matter what you do. So if you put in 10 watts into an amplifier, your audio, especially if it's a tube amplifier, your audio is going to be superb. When it's supposed to be superb when it goes through the audio chain into the amplifier. So that thing, I kind of like that stuff. That stuff sounds good, but like the other drawback is now I got to understand what they're doing with the client software. Until I know what's happening with that, I don't think I'm moving anywhere right now.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I mean, I don't think you're in a big rush. I don't see why there should be a big rush. I would wait. I would actually, this is just me, man. I would wait for the second generation. I never go for the first generation of anything. I like somebody else working out all the bugs, man. But yeah, that would be my only big concern, would be the software issue. I would wait until I had a definite, a definitive answer on the software before I made a move. I mean, I don't know what they cost. I didn't even look at the pricing, so, but I imagine they're, I'm sure it's a pretty penny. So I wouldn't be spending my money fast. I would make sure, I'd make 100% sure I knew what I was doing before I dropped that kind of change.
Yeah, I think the 65, NY2EE is whatever, I think the 65 is like 43 and 67 is like 7 something, maybe more. But why, I don't know why there's such a difference. They both do the same thing, and you can get on 2 meters, you put out, I don't know, I think it's 5 milliwatts, and you know, what is that? Who the hell, you know what, I don't even want that. Spam me the problem. What I would do is, if I went that way, I would put my 741A back into service, because that's my UHF VHF, and that's got 220, 2 meters and 70 centimeters. What do I need? I don't need anything more than that. All my friends are around there. I said, you know, and then I'll keep the TS2000 as a backup. God forbid something had happened. Either that, or just get the radio and keep the 5000 as a backup. But I don't know. I can't see myself. Crazy, but I'm thinking about it. You know, there's a lot of things that I've talked to them about and what they've told me. Some of it I've understood, and some of it has gone over my head because, I've been pretty much, after the operation, I've been pretty much on painkillers, so some of the stuff I didn't really understand, and I'm not bad for working the bugs out, and I'd be even interested in maybe writing some code if I could, to sit back and do that. But at this point right now, I don't think I'm capable of doing that yet, but I'd love to mess around with it. I don't know. I'm really confused about it, man. I hate being like this.
Yeah, I can understand it, but when you think about it, $4,000 nowadays for a radio, It's actually not bad. I can't believe I'm saying that, but you know, when you think about it, I think, well, what if the new Kenwood, the new Kenwood whiz bang radio is something like, what is it, like 10 or 12 grand? So when you're dropping $4,000, even though it's a big chunk of change, I mean, I ain't got it to do it, but, you know, if you got it and you want a good radio, I don't see any big deal. It's not really that expensive. I mean, you can spend almost close to that on a computer, so it's not that big a deal. And I mean, for the bang for your buck there, I think they're great. It's just that I'm still a little leery, just only because I like the portability of a radio. I don't like thinking I'm tied to a computer, but you know, that's just me, and my feelings may down the road. Anyway, I'm having a hard time holding this button down. Oh, back to you, Joe.
Yeah, well, you know what? The 1500 and the 3000 are very portable. With the laptop now, both of them, I think, can be hooked up USB-wise. But, I mean, to drive around with this kind of computing, and it would be very distracting. It would be pretty dangerous. But had you wanted to go set up a station, they're very small and they're lightweight, and a laptop will control them. And, you know, that's just, you know, it's unbelievable. It's 13.8 on all of them, and, you know, the 1500 is QRP, so it'll go into an amplifier. You wouldn't have any trouble worrying about that stuff. Most of them hook up to the amplifiers pretty easy. Some of them don't, but they're talking about, let me drop it, talking about now being able to, you see this computer, well, this 6500 would be connected to the internet. So if I was like in Florida and I decided, oh, I have a little time here, I could actually dial into the radio and move everything around, turn the amplifier on, turn this on, move it from station to station. And actually what they've said is that on your tablet or your iPad, you'll be able to see your room, your radio. It'll actually pop up onto the iPad, and you'll be able to move your rotor. You'll be able to do everything.
Yeah, that's where I think the SDRs have the advantage. Yeah, that's pretty cool to be able to remote and work it basically from your iPhone anywhere. Those are the pros those radios have. What was I going to ask you? I was going to ask you something about that. You know what? Give me a second. I'll think of it. But yeah, I know that 1500. I knew a guy. He runs QRP, and he did. He took it out on field day and everything, and that's what he was. He was running it off a laptop, and it wasn't that big of an issue. So yeah, they're kind of portable. Now, if I could only remember what I was going to. What I was going to say, it'll come to me.
That's the kind of radio that you'd want to drive with, you know, because it's constantly, you have to constantly look at where your signals are coming from. And like you see the chunk that I'm looking at right now, that 170 to 205, I'm watching signals pop up all five nines all over the place. And right now I'm on 14185, and naturally, I've muted the receiver, but I'm watching signals coming 5-9. I got a guy somewhere right 178, 180, 185, 189, 190, 195, and so on. And I can see their signals, and if I wanted to just pop on to one of those guys, I could just move the cursor over and then bang, I'm there. You know, it's like, that's what's the beauty about this. That's what I love. I can look up and down the chain. If I wanted to put it out more, I could actually get more of a chunk. You know, I could go probably more, like I could go 60 to 300 if I wanted to, but that's a little bit too broad for me.
Yeah, that's what I like that. That's like I say, the ICOM PCR 1000. It has it's very rudimentary as far as the pan adapter goes. It was like one of the first technologies out there with the pan adapter. And the first time I looked at it, I thought it was pretty cool because I could search up and down segments of the band. And all I had to do was click my mouse on the highest peak of a signal, and I'm there. So I think that is pretty cool. I like that. I remember what I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you, what does the 6500 or the 6700, what is the power output? Are they standard 100 watt, or are they 200 watt?
NY2E. No, they're all, I think they're both 100 watts. The PA is 100.
Okay. K2MIJ for ID. All right. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was wondering if they got up with the 200 watt radios like everybody seems to be going now. But, I think 100 is fine. Because you want an amplifier, you throw an amplifier in line. So that's not bad. But I would, if I was you, I would, I keep dropping this thing. I would still be asking questions before I made the decision. Like I say, it's a big chunk of change to drop down and then find out you're not going to get the support you expected. So, I'm going to ask more questions. So.
Yeah, I don't know if you just fell out of the repeater there for a sec. Well, I'm not worried about support, believe me, because these guys pretty much walk you through everything, and they're very friendly, and they will help you with just about anything you have to do. I mean, that I've had no trouble with. If I had to upgrade something on the radio, and I forget what it was, and they took the radio, they said, you know, being without the radio is the biggest hardship, but they took the radio back, and they tuned it up and did everything with it, and they said, oh, we're going to put this in there for you, and we're going to put this in. And I said, you know, while you're doing that, give me the second receiver. And I paid them for it, and they put it in pretty much for free for me. They just, and they made sure everything worked, and they sent it back, and it was beautiful. I was having trouble with it last week. I didn't realize that my power supply was failing on me, and I was getting under 13.8 volts, and the radio must have 13.6 to 13.8, otherwise it's not going to give you 100 watts out. And I don't run it at 100, I want to run it at like 90, 85. I like to try to get the audio to swing on sideband, so that gives me the extra, I want it to swing up, so you have like upward modulation, and I wasn't even getting that. I was getting like 50 watts while I had it set at 80. And I was saying, wow, what the hell's going on? So I called him up, and he tells me, oh, hit these three numbers. And I hit these three things on the keyboard, and bam, there it was. I was watching the voltage on the radio, and I'm watching the voltage drop. I was 12.8, and I was like, oh, my God, everything was failing on it, and I didn't know it. You know, you had to put this up to figure it out. So I had to go out and buy a new power supply because all of my power supplies were failing on me. I had two power supplies that I ran it. I had a switching power supply, and I had a regulated power supply, and they both happened to go at the same time.
Wow. All right, so it has diagnostic settings and everything, so you're able to see the health of everything connected to the radar. That's pretty cool in itself. So that's pretty cool. Now, do you have the commands to get it to do that? I mean, this guy told you what to key in. Do you have those commands that you could look at diagnostics by yourself, or you know, did you have to, or would you have to keep getting these from Plex themselves?
Oh, you know what? I knew about them, but I was stupid and didn't remember how to do it. You have to hit like the Alt and Shift and hit I to see the temperature of the finals and the voltage of the radio. And I knew about them, I don't remember them all. I didn't commit them all to memory, but there's a few of them, and there's a couple of diagnostic things that you can do by hitting different keys on it. It's kind of like cat commands that the TS-2000 does, because their radios are pretty basically the same setup in cat commands as the TS-2000. And I couldn't remember them, and I forgot all about them. And, there's a lot, I got a lot on my mind. You know, I'm doing business, and I'm handling funerals, and I've got stuff going on in the house, and the kids are doing whatever they are. So I just didn't remember it. And then he told me, and I was like, damn it, I remembered it. And I was like, oh, man, I knew I could do that. And I did it, and I was watching the voltage drop on the amplifier, on the power supply. So I switched over to another one, and it held. It was giving me 13.9, 13.8, and then after 5 minutes, it just went down to like 12. And I was like, wow, this is unbelievable. I'm actually losing these things, so I have to fix these power supplies.
All right, so then I guess they're pretty power dependent. They want to see a certain voltage at all times. Well, that's good to know. That's something to keep in the back of your head, you know, because you don't want to just use any kind of power supply. You want something that's fairly accurate and fairly safe, that under load, you know, you're going to still have that proper voltage. So that's good to know. I didn't know they were that critical on their input voltage. So that's something to keep in mind. All right, Joe, I'm gonna jump out of here. I'm gonna get out of here. Now I still think if I was you, I would make sure before I make a jump. But that would be the only issue that would stick with me is just the software issue, and just the fact that you got to definitely down that you do have a mirror image on your hard drive. So, you know, as I say, for a $4,000 radio, I'd hate to see a $4,000 radio sitting there being a bookend. You know what I mean?
And no question about that. That's what I've been questioning them about. Sir, station wants to get in, NY2EE. So let me just tell you two things before you go. The radio will work at 13.6 to 14 volts. 13.6 to 14. So you know that it's, you know, good. When under a load, if you're at 14, it drops down to 13.8, you're good. So that will give you a 400. Anything under 13.6 will diminish your power out. And the other thing, what the hell was the other thing? Oh, yeah, the 65 and 67, they're not out yet. So they're not even out on the, you know, nobody's even got one in their hands as far as I could tell yet. And I haven't heard one on the air or nothing. So that's why I'm waiting a little bit too. You know, I'm not really convinced. All right, yeah, I'm going to go get something to drink and... 20 is unbelievably hopping, so if you want to head up there, yeah, you'd be surprised what's going on. I'm just muted the receiver, and before you had come on, there were like 100 stations out there. I had, I don't know, I talked to the Czech Republic, but I don't know why I did it. I have them already, but he was really coming in good, so once I keyed up, he heard me right away. There's a ton of stations out there, man. So, all right, I'll let you go, and I'll be back and forth. I'll be listening here and there. I got to get something to drink. I'll be back. NY2EE.
Okay, Joe. K2MIJ for ID. Yeah, I worked DL5 SAM. I don't know why. Same reason. He was just so loud, and I couldn't believe it. He gave me a 10 over 9. So I was pretty stoked about that. 5 watt, 10 over 9. And then he worked the guy next town over in Bethpage here, and he gave him 20 over. So, and the guy was running 100 watts. So I guess my 5 watts versus the 100 watts was a dB or so. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to jump out of here. I'll probably spin the dial a little bit, but I'm kind of beat. man, and it's hot as Hades in here. I think I'm going to turn the air. Keep dropping, man. All right, Joe, I'm going to get out of here. I'll catch you again sometime tomorrow or whatever, and we'll talk more. I got to read up on the 65 and the 67. I just went to the Flex site, so I'll read up on them, see what I think. With that, I'm out of here. We'll probably talk to you sometime tomorrow. NY2EEK2MIJ, I'm going to be clear.
All right, Jim. Jim, believe it or not, they even got, like, a receiver, whatever the one is, a 60, I think it's called the 67R. It's just a receiver. And I was like, what, just a receiver? How the hell do you guys think you're going to sell that? I mean, that's pretty stupid, but, I said it's pretty stupid, but I got a Kenwood receiver sitting over here that was my first shortwave receiver, and I was like, well, maybe it ain't so stupid because there are a lot of people that like to listen, and I ate my words. So, do that, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good night, and I'll be back and forth again. I'm going to get something to drink. I'll be back. NY2EE, and you should definitely give it a shot on 20 because I'm watching these signals are jumping. I got a guy like a 201. He's like 5'9 over, 10 over, 20 over. Wow, he keeps jumping. His signal just keeps coming up. And I got a big guy over here, I forget what it's called, K-something. He's like in the next town over in Pomona, and he's got a big, his name is Joel. He's got a big station, man, and I was just listening to him do a little DX, and everybody he seems to yell for, he gets, so. All right, good enough, I'll be back. Yeah, NY2EE, I'll talk to you later. Thanks, Jim.
Hi, Joe, good night. I'll give a spin around. I'll see what I can hear. I just did. I turned it up and I hear a bunch of signals. So I'll give a spin around. Good night, Joe. We'll catch you again. K2MIJ. I'm gonna be clear.
Okay. Before you go, you haven't heard nothing about Steven. Steve worked tonight. I don't think he worked. But whatever. Okay. If he comes on, if he heard anything.
No, I didn't hear if he was working or not. I know he had sent a couple of messages on a Facebook page via mobile, so I was assuming he wasn't around. But I know he had talked about he had two doubles that he was supposed to work, and then he got cut out of by seniority. So I don't know if he had something set up for tonight or not. So I really don't know if he's working, Joe.
Okay, well, if you're not too you want to come back later. What is it now? It's only like 11 o'clock, right? Boy, I must be out of my mind. Whoa! 114, holy cow, where did time go? All right. Yeah, no sweat. All right. If you're in and you decide to come back, I'll look for you. All right, I'll talk to you later. NY2EE. Take it easy, Jim.
Okay, Joe, 7-3. Yeah, when you say 11, I was going like, whoa, man, you're in Twilight Zone, man. That pain pill is really good. Yeah, no, I thought it was earlier too. That's why I looked at the time. I said, oh man, it's already, it's almost 1:15. 73, I'm gone. K2MIJ clear.
Very good. NY2EE, I will be right back. A little listener.
NY2EEK2MIJ. NY2EE, Joe, you around? K2MIJ. K2MIJ, clear.
About that.
No, not in this day and age. It's good to have work. Well, these construction codes are up. Luckily, there's not a lot of traffic on the Merritt Parkway. I haven't seen anybody going in my direction. I've only seen a few cars on the other side. Otherwise, if this was a heavily traveled road, being down to one lane, it would be a nightmare over here. I still don't see it work. I see lots of cones, but no work.
You can't figure out the Department of Transportation. Stop trying. Hey, Charlie, what power level you on?
I'm on high power.
Just where you are, you got a little noise in there, but you're very readable.
Yeah, I can't figure it out. But I am pretty far away from the repeater, and it is summer. All the leaves are on the trees, so that certainly doesn't help.
Yeah, I must have been the repeater with Carlos's radio yesterday morning, because I talked to him last night from home, too, and we had no problem.
Yeah, okay, good. I hope he gets on. He said he got a new microphone. Have you heard it yet?
Yeah, if he was using it, I did. I heard it yesterday. But he's telling me something about the functions, some of the functions don't work or something. I was tired. I was listening to him, but I think he said the press to talk only works. I don't know why he went out and did that, but he said he wanted a microphone with the buttons on the front. But you know yourself, even interchanging the microphones on the Alinkos, some of them you lose the functions.
Yeah, well, especially when you get a Chinese version of a microphone. If he wanted one with buttons on the front, he should have tried to buy a used, Japanese version. I'm sure they're out there for that radio.
Yeah, it does make it easier when you're programming in a frequency. I found it to be easier. But you can do the same thing with the dial on the radio, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to remember. I think that radio came with that doesn't. I don't think that's the original microphone for that 261. I think it did come with one with a keypad on it, so it should be easy enough to find.
Yeah, that microphone that came with it looked like it was from eBay, but it seemed to work pretty good. So at least it wasn't a bad one like I got.
Have you heard anybody on this morning?
I was getting up this morning. I had the radio on from last night. I forgot to check. Fell asleep. Didn't shut it off. Joe was out there and Jim was out there. That's about all I've heard so far this morning.
KD2BOR N1LU. You okay? Very good. I'm going to see if we can't go to Lowe's this weekend and pick up a new grill. I had a guy I work with bring in a Consumer Reports magazine. It was rating a whole bunch of different grills. So I found the one that I want to get. It's about $380. It's not too bad. It's a the hell is it now? Oh geez, I forgot. I've got it written down at work. It's a brand that I've never heard of before, but had a pretty good review, and it was, within our budget.
I've been very partial to Weber's. I've got one for a long time. They don't even make the one I have anymore with the wood slats on it and stuff like that. Charlie, I haven't replaced anything except for the casters on the grill since I got it, and I changed the metal grills to cast iron ones. That's all I've done to that grill since I got it.
Yeah, I've got a Weber as well. You know, always the low end. And even the low end is like over $400. But I've gone through a couple of burners. And then, of course, the flavorizer bars you change. And the grates you change. But that's about it. They are good grills. And they make them easy to repair, you know, to keep up on. But I wanted something a little bit bigger. You know, the low-end Weber's or cooking surface is pretty small. Boy, I wish for the life of me I can't think of the name of this
grill that I want to get. It'll come to me later. Anyway, give me a couple of minutes. I'm coming up to the mobile station. I definitely need a cup of coffee tonight. Kitty 2, BORN1LU, I'll be back.
Okie doke, very good. Kitty 2, BOR monitoring.
Out there, I was away from the microphone. KD2, VOR.
Yeah, Rocky. It's John. West Line, Jim 2 RCP.
Hey, good morning. Felt like I just talked to you.
Yeah, it was this afternoon.
I know, I was just making a joke about it. It was only probably about 6 hours ago, maybe 8 hours ago. I don't remember. How you doing?
Okay, I just spent like a whole day getting my old computer running back running again. We did a whole format, put a little new software in it. Just a whole day.
Just leaving some room. We got Charlie out there in the mobile. He's getting a cup of coffee and his snack, I guess. You're a better man than me. I don't know nothing about these computers. If I need to have them something updated or something like that, I have my girlfriend do it. All I now do is turn it on and search for stuff.
Oh, this is a pain in the butt. It was all messed up. The hard drive was all filled up. Now I got plenty of space. I formatted the whole thing and started from scratch.
Now, how old is the computer, John?
It's pretty old. Mid-90s? Something like that. But it's still ticking. Runs like a charm still. Old dinosaur.
Now, I have a Dell here that I got in 2004. It's the Dimension 46 or 4800C. It's a compact unit that I can fit in this cabinet here I have in the shop with my computer, screen, printer, and fax machine and everything in there.
And towards the KD2DR. Yeah, I got a new laptop too, but it's on the fritz right now. I gotta fix that one too. It's only a couple of years old. It's got a lot of memory and some big gigabytes of hard drive. 17.1 inch screen laptop. But Toshiba.
10-1-LU mobile.
Yeah, acknowledge, Charlie. All right, John. Why don't you say hello to Charlie? I'll be listening. I'll be back and forth to the microphone. KD2.